My name is Val Amsden, and I'm your host of This Side of the Grass. Throughout my experience with the death of very close loved ones, I learned that not many people are prepared for the inevitable. Someday we will all die. On this podcast, I hope to normalize these conversations about dying, not only so we can be prepared, but more importantly, so that we can truly live every single day with purpose and intention that we are blessed to be here on this side of the grass. Hey guys, welcome back to This Side of the Grass. Today, we're talking about something that is super fun, and that is funerals. Yes, okay. One of those things that nobody really talks about, because it's hard to. Who wants to think about their funeral? Speaking from my experience in the two funerals that I was able to, had the privilege of, was unfortunate enough to have to plan, two different situations, right? We had my mom, who knew she was dying imminently, maybe not immediately, and those were actually her words. This might not be immediate, but it's imminent. So I'm going to help you to do as much as I can for you. So for her funeral, she had the service planned, she had the songs chosen, she had everything down to telling us, and we went against her wishes on this one because I think she was just too humble and modest. She did not want any kind of a handout at her funeral with her picture on it. So we went against her wishes on that one because we wanted everyone to have something to leave with. But funerals are this really bizarre ritual. And I'm speaking to what we do here in the United States and specifically in the Midwest. So I'm in Minnesota. We have a very passive-aggressive way about us here. We're very humble. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. So I think the thought of a lot of people coming together to talk about you, to think about you, to cry over you is very uncomfortable. So it's an easy thing not to think about, and death is morbid and sad and scary. So it's just easier not to. But because my mom knew that she was dying, she was able to give us a lot of information. But when it comes to funerals and this really weird ritual, we have to throw together basically the equivalent of a wedding in a short period of time. And I find myself now having planned two, one with more notice than the other by far. How weird it is when somebody dies, let's say on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and there's already a funeral on Monday or Tuesday. It's not something I think I ever would have thought of before experiencing the actual planning. So I'm here to tell you, especially having planned Dan's funeral, when I spent Friday working with him, talking to him, planning for any number of work-related things that we had to deal with. So we had probably talked 6 to 8 times on Friday. Saturday morning is when he had his aortic dissection, his aorta of his heart literally tore. Not the whole way, but he ended up in emergency surgery, didn't make it through surgery. So he died on a Saturday afternoon. Okay, I talked to him on Friday. He passed away on a Saturday. I literally had people asking me Monday when we were having the funeral, where it was going to be, why hasn't there been an obituary yet? And it was just incredible. I felt like saying to these people, he just died a day and a half ago. I just talked to him on Friday. So it's so crazy. So why this is one of my early episodes is because of the realization over and over and over in those first few weeks of, why do we do this to ourselves in our society, in our culture? First of all, funerals are very important. They give an opportunity for people to pay their respects, to say their goodbyes, to show the family that they love and support them. So they're very important, and I'm not downplaying that whatsoever. But I think the speed at which they're expected to happen, man, oh man, I'm here to tell you, it's okay to do what is best for you. It's okay to do what is best for your family. It's okay to take your time. I think the closest thing I had to a panic attack was over not being able to secure a space that was going to be big enough for the hundreds and hundreds of people that we expected at Dan's service. So he had passed away on a Saturday. We started looking for churches because it was very important to my dad to have the service in a church. The church that we grew up in had sold the building and they were renting space from another church that we thought was going to be too small. It was December, so all of these churches had Christmas plays going on and practices. And how do you squeeze in, oh, let me just quick, you know, rent this space for 600 people for a couple of hours? I mean, that's a major undertaking. And you don't think about, they need audiovisual people, they need ushers, they need people to come in and clean before and after. There's the church ladies that bring the cookies and the punch and all of those things. There's the arrangements, the flowers, the coordinating. There's so much that goes into basically the equivalent of a wedding, and we're throwing it together. So I didn't give myself the permission to take the time to really let it happen. I was feeling a lot of stress, and looking back at what we were processing, the shock of his unexpected passing, the logistics of everything that was going on. And again, we're in Minnesota, so there's also weather to factor in. The business that we had, we were trying to be accommodating to as many people as possible to try and do it on a weekend. So there were all these things that we were just trying to do so quickly, but you forget, or you just don't realize, I think is probably more correct. You don't realize that in and amongst all of these logistics, the stuff, the administrative, the choosing of the casket, the choosing of the flowers, the choosing of the pallbearers, all of these things are like marbles in a jar, right? So you've got this jar, and there's some marbles that are really big. Those are the super important things. And there's little tiny ones, and they kind of fit in there too. But in and amongst these marbles in the jar, imagine pouring it full of water. That water is the grief. It is in every nook and cranny and crevice around all of these things that still have to be done. And it's just always there, and it's always covering you up, and it's just always, you're pushing through it and driving through it. It's a lot. So when it comes to funerals, give yourself permission, give yourself grace and space. If you're someone right now who has received a terminal diagnosis, or if you're just a regular old human being and you're maybe getting to the point in your life, and I would encourage everybody to think about it in these terms, but being at the point in your life where you're realizing, yeah, there's going to come a point that I'm going to leave this earth. What do I want? How do I want it? What are some of the things that are important to me? Maybe it's a song choice. Maybe it's whether or not to have a pastor. Maybe it's, I hate flowers and I don't want any flowers at my funeral. Or I don't want people to wear suits and ties. I want people to wear tie-dye because I loved tie-dye. If there's something that's important to you, share it. If you've lost someone and you're planning this for them, give yourself permission to take time. Give yourself space. Give yourself grace, because you're doing the best that you can. And let the people who are trying to give their opinions and push themselves onto the planning, just try and let that go. And it's hard to do because, you know, maybe it's easier in some places of the country. I keep bringing back this passive aggressive Midwestern experience, but I think we don't want to disappoint people. We want other people to have their chance to say goodbye to our loved one. And we want to do what they want, and we want everyone to feel heard. But sometimes, most of the time, it's not possible to please everybody. So if you have the conversations ahead of your funeral, that's amazing. My grandmother, who's 97, my mom's mom is still alive. So she has watched her oldest child pass away and her oldest grandchild pass away. And I tell you what, we talk about what she wants all the time. Pretty much every time I leave her apartment, she will say, "Now remember, this is what happens to my body. All the paperwork is just magnetized to my fridge." And so we have these conversations, and it's very normal, and it's very, it's not morbid, and it's not sad, and it's a very different conversation when you're 97 than when you're planning something for someone who died so unexpectedly at 44. But I think funerals are my first aha moment in dealing with grief, where it is okay to tell people no. It's okay to take your time. You don't have to plan something in 3 days. Heck, you don't have to do it in 3 weeks if you don't want to. Have a plan, write it down, share it with your loved ones. Because if I'm going to do anything with this podcast, it's to hopefully plant some seeds. If you're not at a point where you're ready to do this, that's okay. If it's planting a seed in you to start thinking about things, that's great. Eventually, I would love for you to take action, even if it's something small. Tell a loved one, whether it's a sibling or a spouse or a friend, "You know what? This is what I want, and I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to let you know because it's important to me." Any little decision that you can make about what you want is going to help those that are left behind. Because death is hard enough to deal with when there's the grief and the sadness, even if and even when my grandma leaves this earth. She's had a very long life, a very blessed life, but it's still going to be sad when she goes. So the more she can tell me of what she wants is a gift. So that's my two cents on funerals. Give yourself space. Give yourself grace. Think through what you want and share it with a loved one. And honestly, nothing that you do is going to be wrong. So let me know if there is any other topics you'd like to talk about. We'll have some show notes and the email address to reach out if you've got topics you want to talk about or something that you'd like to share. Because honestly, we'll all have to deal with this at some point. If not for a loved one, it's because we are gone. And honestly, when we're gone, it doesn't really matter anyway. But what a gift to those left behind. Thanks for joining me today on This Side of the Grass. Have a great rest of your day. Tears aren't for the people we've lost, they're for us, so we can remember and celebrate and miss them and feel human. CJ Redwine.
This Side of the Grass is a Divine Fox production. All thoughts and information shared on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as legal, financial, psychological, or any other professional advice.
I'm so excited to partner with Fountain Hill Winery. Guests of This Side of the Grass will receive wine from our friends at Fountain Hill in Delano, Minnesota. Many of you listening are from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but even if you're not, if you're looking for a family-friendly getaway that's both relaxing and delicious, look no further than Fountain Hill Winery, nestled in the heart of Delano, Minnesota. Sip on handcrafted wines while savoring authentic Neapolitan pizzas made fresh to order. At Fountain Hill, the fun never stops. With events happening all year round, there's something for everyone to enjoy. From live music to seasonal festivities, their calendar is packed with excitement. Visit fhwandvineyard.com. That's fhwandvineyard.com to stay up to date with upcoming events. Come for the wine, stay for the fun. Fountain Hill Winery, where memories are made and laughter is shared.